This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
I feel terrible for Nikki. Nikki is a wonderful individual.
We have a message that says one.
This is exciting, I gotta tell you. I've never roasted a fake character before.
He joined the cheerleading squad, and he wants to be a cheerleader.
Stupid.
That big fake.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we're through the looking glass. We take you going places where other talk shows cannot go. 877-876-PHIL. Later on tonight, our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Our website, philhendryshow.com, where our merchandise store will be up and running soon. Where tomorrow we will have four new podcasts for you. In addition to our daily podcast, we're going to have three of our Classic Phil podcasts, as well as a pre-show rant. Our show's 4 hours long, not three, 4 hours. So if you are missing our first hour, which is on the live streaming video on our website, philhendryshow.com, you're missing, one quarter of the show. And if you're listening to our show on a station that only carries 2 hours of the three or the four, you're missing even more of the show. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we've got a affiliate spotlight for you tonight featuring Denver, KRCN 1060 AM, Denver, Colorado, and Joplin, Missouri, KZYM 1230 AM on the dial. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Now, we've got a couple of stories tonight. Later on, we're going to have Margaret Gray is going to be discussing with us a story out of New York, a teacher who apparently admitted to having been a prostitute. And she did so. Oh, by the way, speaking of prostitutes, Harry Shearer, I'm kidding around, Harry, I'm just joking. I was going to say, speaking of prostitutes, the Huffington Post. I don't know why I thought of the Huffington Post, but Harry Shearer gave us some love in the Huffington Post. We appreciate it. All right. This story is about a boy cheerleader here, and, you know, we'll clarify what I just said in the news hour. In Findlay, Ohio, bullies who apparently tried to beat up an 11-year-old boy because he wanted to be a cheerleader. This kid says, I'm going back out there. I'm going to be a cheerleader. He is basically saying, despite this fight that left his arm broken and lots of bullying, Tyler Wilson is saying no bully's going to stop him from being a cheerleader. I'm going to keep going, he said. Meanwhile, Christy Wilson, the sixth grader's mom, says she's furious with educators at Glenwood Middle School and its independent cheerleading squad for not stepping in to prevent the bullying. Christy Wilson, the boy's mom, is asked by ABC News why her son was bullied there at the school.
Because he joined the cheerleading squad and he wants to be a cheerleader. I kind of expected the normal teasing, and I kind of figured, you know, there might be a fight. I figured black eye, bloody lip, boys will be boys, they fight, but my child is broken, and that's the part that hurts. I want the criminal charges because I want this kid to know that it's not okay.
11-year-old Tyler Wilson says he'll continue cheerleading.
It feels horrible that they can't accept me for who I am. It's my choice. If I want to be a cheerleader, I'm a cheerleader. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to make a lifestyle out of it.
Well, there it is. Don Mixa is a professor of engineering at the University of Washington, and he's joining us tonight here on the Phil Hendry Show to talk about this story as an educator. It's pretty tough to hear about a kid getting bullied, isn't it, Don?
No question, and I'm a father of boys a little bit older than this child. My son is 13. The same kind of feelings, you know, that you have for a very young boy who is coming into his adolescence, who's standing up for himself. It's a, I think it's something that every father feels, every mother feels.
There is a little bit of pride, though, in a boy who is standing up for himself. And yet there's got to be something as parents that we can do for these kids who are getting pushed around out there.
There's no question, Phil, that we have to do something for these young people. I think that when a young person stands up for something that they believe in, and they are being pushed around or bullied on a playground or wherever in life, and the school's not doing anything about it, we've got a very, very serious situation. And we want our kids to stand up for what they believe in. We want our kids to be to be proud of their feelings and their beliefs. We don't want them to be pushing other people around, but we want people to respect them.
What are you, as an educator, and I know that you started out not just, you didn't just start out at a university level, where you were teaching and at the elementary level, weren't you?
Actually, I started at the junior college level. I had never done any.
Oh, I thought you were, you had taught at elementary school?
No, I had never really done any. I was working on a thesis and writing a couple of books, and I got involved in teaching at the junior college level. But I will tell you this, I don't know much about the elementary school level in terms of the requirement in teaching kids at that level. It's not anything that that I would do, because there is a certain, a certain presentation you want to have as an educator and as a writer and as a professor. You're not going to sell a lot of books. You're not going to impress a lot of publishers by saying I teach sixth grade or fifth grade. So I've tried to stay as far away as I can from that environment because you don't want it polluting what you're ultimately doing. But let me say this, Phil. I think that I think we've got young people out there that are fighting for the right things. I think that we should back them up. I think we should make sure that they don't get pushed around. I think we should make sure that these young people have all the support they need from parents and all the support they need from their schools. I think that we also need to tell these kids that when you are standing up for something, understand, there's an old saying, pick your battles. If you want to stand up for something that is an ideal, if you want to stand up for something that is a principle or a belief system, these are things that are worthy of our admiration, and they're certainly worthy of our our respect and our efforts at defending that. But if you're standing up for being a cheerleader, you're going to have to take a certain amount of ridicule.
But also, I mean, if he's standing up for a cheerleader, that's not a principle, right?
No, it's not. It's not a principle like a Thomas Jefferson principle. America, we've got a problem in America. One of the problems we have in our country is that we don't really have much to stand up for in this country that other countries have stood up for. You take a look at Nelson Mandela, I was going to say, comes from the prison experience. Nelson Mandela was in prison. There are revolutionaries and thinkers and politicians and philosophers and artists all over the world that have had to deal with the system in the most extreme ways. But in our country, we don't have to. So what you have is a kid wanting to be a cheerleader.
Are you criticizing the boy for standing up for himself?
No, I'm not, Phil. What I'm saying is, I just wish. I suppose in my there are moments when I wish we had examples of people standing up for something that is a little bit worthier, I guess, of our time. To listen to a boy who, you could solve this problem very easily by saying to the boy, there's probably some better things you can do with your time than being a cheerleader.
But that's what he wants to do, you know.
Yeah, well, it may be what he wants to do, but he's an 11-year-old boy.
So what I hear you saying, though, Don, and we're talking to Don Mixa from University of Washington, a professor, about this boy who wants to be a cheerleader and was bullied and had his arm broken, but he's still going to be a cheerleader. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You're saying that this problem could be averted were this boy not trying to be a cheerleader, you know?
Well, not exactly.
You're saying that being a cheerleader is not as worthy or as admirable an ideal to attain as some of the things that other people do in this world. Now, you mentioned Nelson Mandela coming from the prison experience. I mean, there's no question that that's paying your dues.
Absolutely.
And there's no question that we've had people who've been through the fire. But this is an 11-year-old boy, you know.
Well, I certainly take that into consideration. But what we want to do is harden and toughen our kids, don't we? Don't we want our kids to be? This is going to be a very tough world the next 100 years. Next century is going to be, and this is the first generation that's going to be attacking this century as Americans. And we've got a boy who is standing up for himself, and that's good. But what's he standing up for? He's standing up for being a cheerleader. And.
Well, you're a father, so you're telling me if your son had come to you and said, "Dad, I want to be a cheerleader and bullies are pushing me around," what would you have said?
10. Sean is 13.
Well, let's say back when he was 10 or 11.
When he was 10 or 11, if Sean had come to me and said, Dad, I want to be a cheerleader, I've been pushed around, I would have said to him, don't you think that there's... I would have said to him, first of all, I'm going to call the school, I'm going to make sure that you are protected, son. And then I would take him aside and I'd say, is there not something that you can do at this particular point in your life that is not going to be, you know, hanging a neon sign out saying, please, you know, please put me in a shopping cart and push me down a hill. Please kick my you-know-what. Isn't there something you could do?
Would you talk him out of being a cheerleader?
I would simply say to him, why do you want to be something that is going to embarrass your mother, me, your grandmother and your grandfather, you know, a lot of our neighbors and friends? I got to go to school and stick up for you, and the teacher's going to say your son got beat up because he wants to be a cheerleader, and I have to say, yeah, isn't that great? And it's asking a lot of me as a father, and being a male cheerleader, it certainly we have male cheerleaders, but I have to tell you it reflects badly on the parents. If he wanted to join a anyway.
I sort of understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Don Mixa here about a boy, a little 11-year-old boy, who wanted to be a cheerleader. He got bullied, had got his arm broken, and got pushed around a little bit. But he's going right back out there to be a cheerleader. Don Mixa is with us saying there are things that 11-year-old boys could choose to be or do that might not invite a beating, and maybe that's a better thing. Do we advise our sons not to be cheerleaders? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa with us, a professor of engineering at the University of Washington. But we are talking about something a little bit far afield of university life. We're talking about middle school life and a little boy who wants to be a cheerleader at his school in Findlay, Ohio. The boy was bullied by some kids. They broke his arm. Before we get to some phone calls here, Don, you're saying that you back up our kids, but they're choices we have to live with as parents, and you seem to be saying that being a cheerleader for a boy is not...
It's not something as a parent I'm going to be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're making it sound like.
No, I don't want to say that. I would say this. My son, if my son said to me, I'll give an example. I'll tell you one thing my son did. I want to be on the wrestling team. My son wanted to be on the wrestling team, and I immediately asked him why. And he said, because it was interesting and what have you. And I said, you understand that being on a wrestling team is going to open your mother and I up to a certain level of ridicule.
And in what way?
I think you can understand.
We're talking about it's a suspect sport or something?
I think you can understand, Phil. If you just allow me, I said it's going to open us up. And I said, you could get bullied. And I said, and the first bully might be me. And I wasn't going to hurt my son, but I told him, I said, imagine if you joined a wrestling team and someone beat you up and left you at a, you know, behind a car in a parking lot. I said, what if that was your father? What if I did that?
So your son joining the wrestling team you didn't like?
No, I did not like it because it opened his mother and I up to a certain level of ridicule that somebody left. In fact, someone left a bottle of baby lotion on my wife's desk at work when they found out that Sean was going out for the wrestling team like he wanted to oil up, you know. And so, again, you have to think about the parents. And, hey, Dad, I want to be a cheerleader. All right, great. So that's going to open me up to a certain level of ridicule. And I've got to live with that. I've got to live with the decisions and that my son makes. And this boy, he got beat up. I'm not saying that I would have beat him up, but and he's got a mother that apparently thinks this is a good thing. What if that child came home and his mother beat him up?
If his mother beat him up, she'd go to jail.
Well, no, I understand. understand that, but I'm saying if he came home and said, I want to be a cheerleader, and his mother beat him up.
Well, if that happened, she'd go to jail. I can't imagine any parent, even if they don't like the choice that a child makes, physically assaulting their child. Here is Brenda in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, Brenda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. Hi.
Literally, Phil. I'm talking about just, you know, slapping a kid because they want to be a wrestler.
Yeah, go ahead, Brenda.
Okay, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm a teacher on the college level. And on the college level, you do have male cheerleaders. I do applaud that little boy for wanting to be a cheerleader. The parents cannot live their lives through their child, okay? If the child wants to be a cheerleader, that's fine with me. Because every Sunday when I watch the football games on TV, I see grown men dressed
yep.
with their face painted with crazy things on their head. And they're cheering for their teams. So he's just support. He's just trying to give support for his team. And I don't see that as an embarrassment. Let the child express himself.
Well, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
Brenda, I'm also an educator at the college level at the University of Washington, and I know what you mean. Those guys that are out there on a Sunday afternoon, they are looked upon as sort of the freaks of the school. They couldn't make the football team, and they look a little ridiculous. However, you're right, they are men. Now, let's talk about an 11-year-old boy. An 11-year-old boy painting his face, and, you know, we do have cases of psychosis among our pre-adolescents.
Again.
And I'm frightened that these children with painted faces and the wild child syndrome, you see.
Well, what makes it different? What makes it so different when you see collegiate cheerleaders out there and males are cheering? What is the difference?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said they're adult men. You know, they're of age, they're of a majority age. They can make fools of themselves if they want to. There's nothing a parent can do at that point. You have to sit and you have to take it. You have to let the wave of embarrassment wash over you. But now I can say to an 11-year-old boy, you go out there and paint your face and put on bikini bottoms or whatever you do. I can do something about that. I can.
Well,
I don't want to say, but I can slap you down if.
Slap him down. What's wrong with a kid wanting to be a cheer on the high school level? I mean, on the high school level, they have male cheerleaders.
I'm not understanding. But the only thing I want to say is this.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the kid is simply showing support for his school. It is sad, it is tragic that we are so closed-minded that we would hurt the boy because he wanted to show support for his team. Everybody
you don't
play sports. I couldn't play sports. I was a cheerleader, okay?
Well, girls being cheerleaders, and I got, Brenda, you'll agree with me, girls look perfectly acceptable as cheerleaders, but when your only son, your blood, the heir to your family name, has put on a wig and has painted his face rainbow colors, you begin to feel there's a sadness.
Well, wait a minute. I want to say something. Don, come on. The kids in college, that's when you have fun. That is the time in life when you are enjoying everything around you. You're going to ball games. You're going to class. You're meeting girls. You know, it's a great time. You're young. If ever there's a time to paint your face rainbow colors, that's the time.
The lady said adult men, and I underlined that, adult men. Once you turn 18,
the only thing I want to say, sir, is this. I was a cheerleader. I also supported the cheerleading team, and I had males and females. I've been on the college level all my life. But the only thing I can say is, if I can see grown men looking like idiots in the stand, dressed and painted all different colors, I see no reason. It is unfortunate that we live in such a closed-minded society where they would attack this little 11-year-old boy. I say, go on out there, young man, and support your school. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you for taking my call.
They may find a boy in clown makeup, unconscious.
I don't think so. Thank you very much for your call, Brenda. I don't think so. I don't think so, Don. I think that's a terrible thing to say.
I've been in college, just as the lady said. I've been in college my whole life, too. And let me say this. I get into the stands on a Saturday afternoon. I pull for the Huskies. I've got a fake I have a fake coyote head that I wear to the Husky games, and I look like a complete imbecile. And I have a ball. That's me. But if my son tried to pull something like that, he and I'd have a very, very serious problem.
And so you can dress like a fool, but not your son.
I didn't say a fool. I said I wear a coyote head.
But you said that you look ridiculous. All right, we'll be back with Don Mixa on the little 11-year-old boy who wants to be a cheerleader. Is he embarrassing his family? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Yeah.
Welcome back here and online at philhendryshow.com, the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. philhendryshow.com. Go over, watch live streaming video of our show, and take us on the road with you. You can watch live streaming video of our show on your Android phone, on your Evo phone, and soon on your iPhone. So we're mobile, man. We're on the desktop, on the laptop, on the iPad. We're on the mobile. 877-876-PHIL. Boy cheerleader Tyler Wilson won't quit despite his arm being broken by bullies. And when we started talking about this, Donna, we're going to get some more phone calls. You were saying you love your son and you would love this boy and you back up your kids, but this is an embarrassing choice for a young man to make, and maybe they should think about this before they go into these things. But really, the point of the story is about him standing up for himself, isn't it?
Well, the point of the story is him standing up for himself is exactly correct, Phil. But let's talk about, as you mentioned, Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela stood up for himself. And what was he standing up for? He was standing up for the right to walk down a street as a man and to change society as we know it. If my son or if this boy, if they were standing up for something like that, I would certainly be very, very proud to go to bat for them here, there, anywhere. I'd walk into the fires of hell for a person like that. But what do we have in America? What we have in America instead is not someone saying, let's go to the mat for the rights of man. No, we've got a boy who wants to be a cheerleader. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, Phil. He's an 11-year-old boy, but his parents have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And what I mean, let me tell you what I mean by that. If I walk in, I don't know, to a restaurant, a coffee shop, and say, you know, you're Don Mixa. I saw your son. The last time I saw your son, he had a big lion head or something. You know, he was wearing a costume, and he was wearing a lion's costume. And I've got to live with that. And you pray. You pray that he didn't have, no, that's not my son. If he didn't take the head off and you don't see, well, yes, it was because he took the head off to smoke a cigarette or eat a sandwich or something. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I've got to lie to a man and say, no, that isn't my son. He wasn't in a costume.
And well, I don't know. I mean, if he was in high school or he was in college.
Or he was in grade school. You see what I'm saying? He's in grade. That's what we're talking about, grade school. Isn't that like college? He was in grade school. Yeah, that was my son who's the guy, the Little Abner, Daisy May outfit, you know, Little Abner outfit.
All right, 877-876, Phil. Don Mixa with us here talking about the little boy in Findlay, Ohio, who wanted to become a cheerleader, and that's exactly what he's going to do. Here is Diane in Fort Worth, Texas, listening to us on KFXR. Go ahead, Diane, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thank you
yes,
for
ma'am.
Having me on.
Yes, ma'am.
I just had a comment. It's very interesting that you say that you really, really want to support your son and everything that he wants to do. But it's very interesting to me that what you keep mentioning over and over is that you and your wife are going to have to deal with the embarrassment. And to me, that seems to be the point and the issue that is most important to you. And when raising children, the most important point is that we support our children no matter what they do, unless it's illegal. And last time I checked, cheerleading does not fall within that realm.
But you have to live with what your children
do. My daughter is a cheerleader.
Don't you agree with that, Dan? Well, don't you have to live with that, though? You have to live with the decisions that your daughter makes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So let's say she did something. Right. Let's say she did something that wasn't illegal. Let's say she married a man And you didn't particularly like him, and they had five kids before she was 19.
Is your son
I'm asking you. I'm asking you. If your daughter, let's say your daughter married a, all right, I'm gonna say it, and if I'm out of line, please tell me. But let's say your daughter married a black man and had three or four kids before she turned 20.
What has that got to do with it? What is that about?
Unconditionally, because that is the type of love that a parent has for a child. No, I don't personally approve of that, but I love her unconditionally, and that changes nothing.
But you do say nothing. But you would be disappointed were she to marry a African American.
Why are we bringing that up? Why are we bringing that up?
I'm just saying, Phil, to you and your audience and this lady, we do live with the decisions of our kids. This lady's daughter marries a black man. My boy becomes a cheerleader. These are things we live with for the rest of our lives.
Sir,
for the rest of our lives.
You are scarring your son more than you have ever even imagined by simply not supporting him and not allowing him to do this. This probably, more than likely, will go out of his system. Do you realize the strength and agility that is required to be a cheerleader?
There's strength and agility.
Don't even laugh. I was a cheerleader myself.
To do ballet.
My daughter has been. And unless you've been a cheerleader, you can't comment on that. And especially for a male to be a cheerleader, he's doing the throws. He's a base. He has to be stronger than the majority of the squad.
But I can assure you it doesn't take a lot of skill to be a cheerleader to run around with the pom-poms. So,
she's talking about,
these cheerleaders, Phil, they run around with their pom-poms and they go yay or some nonsense.
They do.
I don't know what. But
they do.
I would hope that my son would pick something a little more worthy, that's all.
Diane, I got to take a break. Thank you very much. Not take a break. Move on to another call. I appreciate your call very much, though. Thank you so much. 877-876-PHIL. There's a lot more to cheerleading, Don.
They do the triangle or what? How do you call that thing?
The pyramid.
Yeah, the pyramid, and some guy and the thing that I think is the most disappointing thing that I've ever seen, and I think as a lot of these people are going to talk tonight that will agree with this, that a young man who is looking forward to his entire life would spend any amount of time learning how to utilize this thing, this baton. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, you see these young men, and they twirl, they throw this thing in the air. How could a young man, in the prime of his life, put on one of those hats that go up for a big, tall hat and throw it in the air? And I said to my son, I said, don't you ever. And he's not a cheerleader. And
you just don't like guys being cheerleaders.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. 877-876-PHIL. Christine is in Anchorage, Alaska. Christine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. We're talking about an 11-year-old who has made a decision to try something, to involve himself, to socialize, acceptance, experience, and throwing a baton, for an example. We're talking about exercising muscles and agility, and he's being proud. And he can go to such extremes that he gets his arm broke because he's wanting to do something.
Right.
And
that's
this
right.
is not anything about him. I'm hearing an awful lot about you. Your embarrassment, you're uncomfortable, you would be ashamed. I'm supporting the previous caller in an awful lot. And unconditional love is what, hopefully, in the 21st century, parents can exemplify.
Don?
Well, I heard you commenting, Mr. Hendry, agreeing with the lady.
I do agree with the lady. I agree with her, and I agree with the previous caller. Here's a little boy. He doesn't want to go out and sell drugs. He doesn't want to go out and knock over a liquor store. He doesn't want to go out and do anything weird or creepy or play with dead animals or start fires. The kid wants to be a cheerleader. He wants to jump around. You know, when I was a kid, I used to jump off the roofs of houses because I thought that was fun. People probably thought I was crazy, but when you're a kid, you know.
Look, Phil, please don't bore me and the caller with the way it was when you were a kid, because when you and I were kids, they didn't have this kind of, we were not allowed to do the things that girls do. But I will say this.
Well, no, hold on for a minute, man. They had boy cheerleaders.
Excuse me, with all due respect, Don, you just spoke for me, and I would like to let you know that I didn't give you permission. You just let the announcer know to say, well, don't speak for us. Don't bore us with what you got to say, you being a listener. You're speaking for me. He's not boring
for
me.
Well, I
didn't ask you to. Please do not speak for
Mr.
me.
Henry,
I'm communicating to you about your issues. These are all about
But Mr. Henry was... Mr. Henry was talking about when he was a kid jumping off of the roofs of houses. I mean, who cares?
I was simply trying I was a little boy once, just as you were. I was 11 years old, and one of the things you want to do is run around outside.
I wanted to run around outside, Mr. Henry, as a baseball player, as a hockey player, as a football player. I didn't want to run around outside wearing my sister's underwear. And I think this is the difference between myself as a parent, perhaps you as a parent, perhaps Christine is a parent. Now, if Christine wants her son wearing her undergarments, that's her business. I don't want that for my boy. I don't want my boy going in. I don't want my son rummaging. I don't want my son rummaging around in his mother's underwear drawer.
We're talking about the cheerleading. What has this got to do with underwear? What do you want for your son?
The first thing I don't want is him rummaging around in his mother's panties.
But that's not the question. You're avoiding the question.
No, I'm not. I'm answering your question.
No, you're not.
I want for my... Yes, I am. I don't want him...
No, what do you want is the question.
What I don't want...
No, not what you don't want. What do you want?
I'm going to tell you. I want him to wear a man's underwear. But that doesn't tell the entire story, does it?
You're not answering the question. You continue to avoid, and this is not about you.
What I want to—it's entire. It's not about me. You're right. It's not about me. It is about his mother and I being able to walk down a street without having someone throw something at us from a car.
But there again, you're talking about you, you and your wife. It's still going back to you and about your self-image and your terminal uniqueness and your issues and your self-esteem. It has nothing to do with your son now. It keeps going right back to you.
I want my son to go into the world and profoundly change it the way a Nelson Mandela has, the way a Carl Sagan has, the way a Stephen O. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying... Yeah, I want my son to really make a difference. You're not going to make a difference at the age of 11.
You have no idea.
Leaping with your face painted like a Ubangi warrior and wearing your mother's stockings.
You don't know what kind of an impact he's going to have if he's given a choice.
These are all the things in life. Yeah, these are the things in life that young men choose, young women choose, that begin the building blocks of who they become as adults.
Well, I'm the teacher, Phil, not you and not this lady, so let's leave the analysis of what kids become to me, all right, and solely to me.
No, I don't think so. 877, thank you very much, Christine. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here with Don Mixa. We're talking about kids. Everybody has a different opinion, but let's hope that we all agree on one thing, that when we raise a kid, we want that child to be a constructive human being. Not a destructive human being. A human being that creates, that invents, that does. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Don Mix in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking about this little boy that wants to be a cheerleader.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, that's great. That's just great.
Phil Hendry.
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, boy cheerleader Tyler Wilson won't quit despite arm being broken by bullies. And here we are in late September, and we are now into the full bloom of the football season. And this boy, an 11-year-old at a middle school, wants to be a cheerleader. The bullies pushed him around and said, no, you can't be a cheerleader. And Don Mixa joins us. He's a professor at the University of Washington. We're talking about kids doing what they want to do, Don, but it almost sounds as if the point of view that you have taken with me tonight and with my callers is you don't support bullies, but you are against this boy being a cheerleader.
No, I am not, Phil. No, I am not, Phil.
Well, you've said, you know, this is something you have to live with. A mother and father has to live with it.
I think I've done a very good job of showing you a boy can be anything he wants to be. A girl can be anything she wants to be. But when they decide to become what they become, the parents are the ones that are walking down the street and a window gets rolled down and something that has been rotting in a fruit bowl in a garage somewhere gets thrown. And it may hit you. It may hit your wife. And the two of you may smell of it all day. And why?
Are you being quite literal here? You know,
am I, in what way?
Were you talking about walking down the street and getting hit with rotten fruit?
In a small town. Absolutely, in a small town. Yep.
Well, let's talk about in a regular size American city.
Well, you're going to have to walk into a supermarket, and there is Daisy May or whoever it is. You know, I hear your son's a cheerleader. You know, ha ha. It can really put a crimp in your day. It can really, you go to light your pipe in the evening after you've gotten home and you're trying to relax. And, you've got the match almost over the tobacco and you're just staring into space thinking about your son wearing a clown costume and suddenly there's no more relaxation.
Yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Bill, listening to us on WTKK in Boston tonight. Go ahead, Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to share a little insight on what it actually takes to be a male cheerleader nowadays, because I was one a few years ago at a high school. And let me tell you, it's really not all fun and games. I mean, it's pretty rigorous. I mean, there's been times where you throw girls up in the air and they come down and elbows hit you in the face. You know, you get kneed in the face. I mean, there's been times where just me myself, I'd have to lift up a girl, hold her above my head on one hand for a good 15, 25 seconds. Now, that's a full size. What's that?
I was going to say, what's the point of that? You know, other than the fact that you're, and I don't know how to say this, but, you know, I guess you're getting a pretty good view down there.
That,
you know what I mean?
No, it's not even
you know something.
No, that,
don't even, yeah, don't talk like that, okay?
Well, I'm trying to ask the young man, what's the point?
The point is, you're saying that cheerleading for a male is really easy. And really, I mean, it's not the hardest sport, but let me tell you, it's not easy. And the fact of the matter is, if an 11-year-old kid wants to be a cheerleader at his school and support his friends who are playing football or basketball or whatever, I don't really see what the big deal is. And you keep going on, like the other caller said, about how it's embarrassing to you and your wife. Let me tell you, my parents were actually pretty proud. I mean, we were division champions.
I want to ask you something, Bill. Sure, can I ask you something? I mean, I'm a parent. Let's say I'm in the stands and I'm your father, and there you are with your hand up someone's dress. How am I supposed to be proud of that?
What are you talking about?
What? You said you got
your hand up some girl's skirt.
No.
He's holding her.
I'm holding her up by the bottom of her feet, above my head for 30 seconds at a time, while she moves around, flares her arms, does whatever she has to do. Then I have to throw her up in the air. She has to spin, and then I have to catch her, so she has to land safely.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right to you?
I don't get it. I don't see the skill that you're developing worthwhile in a domestic abuse situation, you know. And
come on. We're talking about a very athletic. It's performance. It's entertaining people in the stand. What Bill was doing is no different from what a person does on stage, a dancer. We're showing people. Have you ever been to Cirque du Soleil, you know?
The thing that most people don't know is
male cheerleaders don't dance. We take.
All right, listen,
thank
you, Bill, for your call. Let's go to Abby in Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. She's in West Hollywood. Go ahead, Abby.
Hi. First of all, thank you for taking the call.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you settle?
I don't understand that last caller, though.
I know. We got another caller on. Go ahead, Abby.
Hi.
Hi.
Professor Mix, are you saying that as a grown man, your criteria for your child's behavior should be governed on the fact that as a grown man, you can't bear to be called names? Isn't that something we're supposed to outgrow?
No, ma'am, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is I'm walking down the street with a wife, a woman such as yourself, and because some guy at a hardware store saw my son as a cheerleader, I get hit in the face with a piece of God knows what, you know.
Well, sir,
rotten.
Sir, I'm sorry if you live in a neighborhood where people express their opinions by throwing rotten fruit, but my understanding, I mean, my parents have been very supportive of me my whole life, and I grew up with a lot of their values, not because they threatened to slap me or they said how embarrassed they'd be if I didn't share their values, but because they demonstrated that they were good people and I could see everybody admired them. I'm sorry, sir.
And my son, you made the right choices, my son made. But what do you do if a kid makes the wrong choice and she decides she wants to, in your case, Abby, let's say you decided you wanted to put on a tuxedo and play a piano in a bar that's frequented by nothing but women. And your father he's got a question.
My mother would be supportive of that.
Well, that's fine, but I would have questions as a father. It's okay,
my parents were founders of Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. So
they were front-enders? They were what, the front-enders?
Founders.
They were some of the founders of that organization. Which is,
well, that's pretty strange.
My parents would certainly have been upset if I had been a thief, if I had been a cheat.
Well, what if you cut your hair short and played a piano on a bar?
Phil Henry.
A real short haircut.